Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How human are the Gospels? How true to life? How could they not be? They are the words of eternal life. Lazarus has died. He is our Lord's dear friend. His sister Martha, a practical soul, if ever there were one, as people will at a funeral, is ticking off her if-onlys. If only thou hadst been here. She says that, but she's thinking, why didn't he hear my prayer? Why didn't he see our need? Why didn't he come? So we say at a funeral, if only we had done this, if only we hadn't done that, if only, the death of a loved one and the grave illness that precedes it always leaves its lingering doubts. So Martha speaks, and our Lord doesn't cut her off, her and her thoughts. He lifts her up to supernatural faith. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, even though he be dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall not die forever. And then she's asked by him, believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I have believed. He is the Lord of life. He decides. We don't. We don't get to declare ourselves healed or anything else. We get to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who has come into this world so that dying he might give us life, and this life of ours ending bring us, finally purified by his precious blood, into eternal life. I've been thinking about Sharon's name these days since she died. After all, Scripture says, I have called you by name. Sharon. Father Chicada's nickname for her was Sharon, which I think is the Hebrew pronunciation of Sharon. We're always doing nicknames around here, and Sharon never minded, not at all. But Sharon, the word comes in the 35th chapter of Isaiah the prophet, and again in the Canticle of Canticles. And it means a beautiful, verdant field which stretches from the foot of Mount Carmel, some 40 miles, down towards the Mediterranean Sea. And at this time of the year, late winter, early spring, when it rains, this field blossoms. In the Canticle of Canticles, we read, I am the flower of the field. That's the rose of Sharon. It's probably a spring flower. Some say a little daffodil called a narcissus, and others say it's a crocus, white or purple. The crocus yields a precious herb, very precious indeed, called saffron. This morning as I was hurrying into church through the rain, I thought to myself, and I looked in my garden, and there were three crocuses that were blooming. This is what the prophet has to say, Isaiah. The land that was desolate and impassable shall be glad, and the wilderness shall rejoice and shall flourish like the lily. It shall bud forth and blossom, and shall rejoice with joy and praise. The glory of Lebanon is given to it, the beauty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the beauty of our God. The plain of Sharon represents prosperity, a glorious green place which reflects God's majesty, his providential care. Excellent grazing it provides for lambs and for sheep to feed upon and to flourish. But Sharon also has the sense of lowliness or of humility, as in the Canticle of Canticles. I am the flower of the field. The title, Rose of Sharon, is applied both to Jesus and to his Blessed Mother, Mary. The beauty of Sharon flows down from Mount Carmel down towards the sea. And we remember today that, as we Catholics are, Sharon was an honorary Carmelite. She wore the little badge or the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, a child of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And she was called into eternity on Mary's Day, just in the first hour of Saturday. But that only after you finished your last rosary. The rosary is a sort of a gospel meditation we make, counting our beads for the time, really. One of the stories in the gospel, we pray it with our mother, the Blessed Mother. We were so blessed to have Sharon among us, a part of our lives, the heart of your family, in a sense, was a dear part of ours, both in church and in school. Sharon loved children, and she gave herself unreservedly for them, so much so that she found it difficult at times to say, no, that's not your way, I know. Some days, she'd be exhausted by the afternoon, all poured out there in the classroom. But the children knew she loved them, and their love in turn for her was an elixir. It always is, isn't it? Sure to revive us. She worked hard and long and came from afar each day. For years, it was 7 days a week. She'd teach Monday through Friday, and then she would clean for us on Saturdays, and then go back to do her paper route, and then return on Sunday for Mass and catechism classes. When the sisters were established here, they took over the Sunday school, and it only made sense, because how could you keep on going indefinitely like that? But I knew she missed it. Sharon was loving to her family, and so generous. Whatever she had or could borrow or stretch, she shared with them and more. And more, she was loyal. She was fiercely loyal. She took up their cause. She hid their flaws. And if she could say nothing in praise, why then Sharon usually said nothing. Oh, I think she would fuss sometimes at home. Everybody does. But on the outside, she was silent, and she was strong, and she was proud to be a Patton, and she bore it patiently and never complained about the burdens of poverty. This always edified me very much. She was devoted, you know that, to each one of you in the family. Justy's children being baptized and then making their communion these last years, that meant very much to her. And how much she wanted Olivia to crown the Blessed Mother. I think it must have been the high point of her life for this so devoted aunt. Sharon certainly looked a great deal younger than her 58 years. But then I was thinking to myself, well, how else could she have sustained so much work and so many miles and still kept her smile? She was a remarkable teacher, you know. She was a gift of God to us at our little school. I've often thought in admiration, how else to explain going from being a motel maid to a Catholic school teacher without missing a beat? She was a gift to us, our Sharon was, and to her students at St. Gertrude the Great School and at our Sunday school catechism, and to each one of her nephews and her nieces, as well as to her dear mother and to her brother and her sisters. Well, she was a field, as Isaiah describes, verdant, blossoming, plenty of room. She took care of everyone. Oh, we Catholics don't canonize our dead. We pray for them, you know, because we all go as sinners before judgment and Jesus at the moment of our death. So even in today's praise, we remember that nobody's perfect. This is true of any family. It's probably true of your own. There's usually somebody who will very kindly point that out to us. But these families represented here today, which go to make us up, they're the glorious green plains and the humble places as well, where talents shine and gifts keep on giving, just being given away. That's all because that's what you do. Because love glows and feeds this generosity. Love does for others as God, who is love, does for us. Going is never easy. No one gets out of this world alive. Death is a punishment for sin, but how gently, finally, did Sister Death knock at the end? After all of the drama, and the false hopes, and the deceptions, and yes, even the denials, she knew when she would come, Death did. She stole into the room quietly. Just after midnight, Saturday, Mary's day. But she came politely. She waited until that final rosary was done and the last gift was given. Such a beautiful smile as she gave to Bud and Donna and Lori. Maybe, too, there was just a glance up and it was an angel or a saint or our Lord or our Lady themselves. And then she was gone peacefully. Death came and shut the door to this life and opened it to eternity. I should end here, but I do not want to go without a word to you, dear family of Sharon. Sharon was the pillar of the Patton family, I know that. She was often the provider extraordinaire, and she was always your proud advocate. You know, yours is a family blessed by heaven and also terribly attacked by hell. One of you is no sooner found than the next one is lost. Your children, as with so many families today, have mostly grown up and away from God. And because they're family, you make your accommodations and maybe silently suffer and still hope. And most of you who are grown up and away, as people will, you eat and you drink and you work and you play as if there were no tomorrow, as if there were no God. But who will look after you now, now that Sharon is gone? Gone to heaven, we pray. And you, where will you go? If God took Aunt Sharon, he knows what he is doing and where she is going. Look at each other today before we leave church. There is still strength here. There is still selflessness. There are still the embers of a Catholic faith passed on to match every need. Who will come forward? Who will help? Remember Martha's opening words. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.